97.5, The Fanatic.
8 o'clock, 97.5, The Fanatic. D. Lineham, Devon Gibbons, Josh Rabick producing the show. 610-632-0975. Joining us, if you want to reach us there, on Twitter as well. Having a little bit of fun with the $1,000 government fund that they're giving out to many Americans with all of the stuff going on, some relief there, and hopefully they follow through with that for a lot of people who need it. That would be great. But we decided to have a little fun with that as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, asking what would you use that money on right now if it was in the form, though, of a gift card or like a gift certificate. This is the great question from our producer, Josh Rabick. 610-632-0975. So I'll look at this one on Twitter. Let's throw a few before we get to some more of the Eagle stuff and any of the other basketball stuff that we've been talking about overall here tonight. All right, Kingsway Dad, Chick-fil-A. That's a lot of
$1,000 worth of Chick-fil-A.
Listen, if that's one place to do it, not a bad choice.
It's a lot of disappointing Sundays, though.
That's all right.
That's true.
You get it on Saturday and warm it up in the oven on Sunday. That's what you do. Come on. That's what you do. Oh, man. Let me see. We have Wawa again for sure. We have PA Fine Wine and Spirits.
See, I told you somebody would join that fray.
You know it. And, You know, a lot of people need that during this time.
Well, first of all, right now, PA, they're closed.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. But you can still go to certain grocery stores that do have them.
That have wine.
That have wine. But again, wine and spirits. You take what you can get. You can also get some beer, right? There's beer available.
Oh, there is, yes. Yeah. And very popular these days is the hard seltzer. And I saw those in one of those convenience store fridge areas. Yeah, so.
Okay.
Like on a day like today, if people were sitting in their outdoor space, a hard seltzer might have been up their alley, and you could still find that somewhere in your neighborhood.
All right. Billy Ice says on Twitter, Pottery Barn. I just love ceramics.
Pottery Barn has some great furniture, too. I love Pottery Barn.
I'm out.
You're out, Josh? No. All right, cool. Chris Laird, 20 on Twitter. Amazon for sure. I could find stuff I never knew I needed there, and it'll be here tomorrow. So
that's true.
There you go. So that's what, the Amazon Prime?
They're one of the companies that have been advertising that they're hiring right now because they just, the whole delivering.
Because it's so busy.
Right.
Still people
and
ordering
on
things.
On the way in here, grocery store, advertising.
Multiple.
Seen. Yep.
Still need some help.
And I walked over today. I hadn't been there in 2 days. And my supermarket, while there's, you know, you're fine, but there are parts of it that are empty, you know, especially in the frozen food section.
And it's crazy because you know the Mad Dash was at one point. They restock.
They still have the Mad Dash.
You get Mad Dash again, and it keeps happening. You're not allowed to basically keep things on the shelf for a long period of time because everyone's coming in there trying to get things. Another one, terrible. Absolutely terrible. Why would you think of such a terrible proposition? Cash only. $1,000. No. Got to play the game. Got to play the game. In order to get in on this one like Karate Mark did, I'm going straight to the tattoo shop. And if you've seen Karate Mark on Twitter or out at one of the events anywhere, Karate Mark 215, tat it up, Mark is. Tat it up.
And you got to appreciate the people that give something specific. Like, let's not do the Visa gift cards or anything.
Yeah, right.
That's cheating.
And we've had that. We've had...
that's cheating.
That's cheating. Jimmy Seafood jumps in from Tim. But Jimmy Seafood, famous seafood, also jumps in and says Jimmy Seafood. So
right.
They're listening, and we appreciate it.
When I saw Jimmy Seafood. I could go for some crabs and lobster. I'd be all right with the gift card that let me purchase that.
I go to Jimmy Seafood 3 times a year, so as soon as that happened, I took a picture, sent it to my buddy who lives 2 miles down the road.
All right, well, we got to do it. we got to tell Jimmy Seafood, which number one, you should help and support because of the local businesses and all, right? Got to help and support Jimmy, D, myself, Josh. We're coming to see you when all this is...
When the doors are once again open.
Yeah.
When we can dine together.
Dine together.
Well, let's start the insanity.
But we will still...
We'll support. Oh, yes.
And come, you know, to take out as well with Jimmy Seafood. Jimmy, you heard us. We'll be there. And we'll see you afterwards. We can all dine in there together. Chili's from Josh. Going right to Chili's. Not you, Josh. The other Josh on Twitter. Josh Gansky. Gansky. Sorry, apologize. We did get a Visa gift card from Stacy on Twitter. So, Josh, you can yell at Stacy for that one. And... another from Tommy, Amazon gift card.
I know what my 12-year-old would say. He would want Under Armour.
Under Armour, see? Like
he's,
me.
He's like
going
you.
Right to
oh,
Nike.
Yeah. He's the Under Armour generation.
Going right to Nike. That's right. See, just smart. And Barch Eddie, FanDuel, and I'd put $1,000 on the birds. It's all good. It is all good. Amazon all day from John. And John with a creative one here, John Jr. 28. Taco Bell. I wouldn't even question it. Think of how hard it would be to spend $1,000 at Taco Bell. I'm sure he's pretty sure I can buy a Taco Bell for like $2,000. Hey, come on, John. You can get in on it. Get in on it. Go ahead. Be a small business owner in a chain. Get in on it, man.
Franchise.
Mm-hmm. Got to do the franchise. Eagles tickets. Phillies tickets, Visa gift card, probably Walmart. Anything you need, you can pretty much get it there unless you cheat and say a Visa gift card. See, Leonard's thinking like you guys are. You can't just go out on that one. You got
to
do that.
I always have to forewarn people. When you get the like credit card, gift card, you got to use it like all at once. Otherwise, they're charging as you go. I mean, some people don't read that fine print there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's why we're giving you straight up $1,000.
And there's a lot of, like, online red tape you have to get through with those gift cards
yes.
as well. Back when I had a gambling problem.
Okay. Yeah. Now, see, that's why we're just... back when you did. That's why we're just going with this one and following up with Mark's Tattoo Shop. Mark, behaviorist, who is a great follower on Twitter, says, same. He's going with the
tattoo
as well. So that's what we're just trying to have a little fun, lighten things up on a Friday as the week is coming to a close. And we have so many serious things going on. Have a little fun with the $1,000 government check that has been proposed out there that could potentially see, the people could see here. And then hopefully in the very near future for a lot of people who could use the help. And we're having fun tonight here on the show with D-Line and myself and Josh. What would you want to use that in the form of a gift card from whatever? Josh goes with, of course, Buffalo Wild Wings. D is going tech for her and the family. And I went Nike. Let's just have a splash. Let's just go.
I like it.
Let's just go. So 610-632-0975. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, and I'm curious because it could go either way with this. They extended the tax date.
July 15th.
But there are plenty of people who count on getting money back. And I wonder in this time where people are focused on other things that even getting your money back won't happen as swiftly just because the government is busy doing other things in this time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great to push it back for July 15th.
Because April is just not going to happen.
No.
But it is tough with the people who were
waiting to get a check back. And maybe they do.
Right.
I don't know one way or the other.
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah, 610-632-0975. So as we talk about the local businesses and all, we do want to talk about the small businesses that are the backbone of our local communities. And right now, they could use our help. Introducing 97.5 The Fanatics Operation Shop Local. Our initiative is to set up the encouraging gift card purchases from your local businesses and to highlight those offering home delivery or curbside pickup. Business owners, go to 975thefanatic.com and list yours in our free directory. The Fanatic is promoting this for our listeners to review and patronize whenever possible. Operation Shop Local, because we are all in this together, from the Beasley Media Group and 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, so 97.5 The Fanatic, go check it out. See what's on there, guys. And if you do have the opportunity, you want to get some air, go out with everyone. Just want to take a breeze. You're hungry. You want something. Maybe you're not hungry, but you go get the gift card for later use. Go out there.
And some,
have at it.
And some of those certain industries that I've seen, you can actually, they do the e-gift card. So you can just email, you purchase it.
Good point.
And you can do the whole thing digitally. Okay. And you don't even have to go anywhere.
That would be great. Yep. And I've said it, I wanted to participate in this as well, try to do the exact thing that we're trying to promote out here and jump in on some of these.
Yeah, like I'm doing,
frequent those small businesses. I like a lot of those.
The muffin scones with my local coffee shop slash, I mean, I'll miss her soups. I don't know. I should have asked if she had soup for tomorrow.
You ask her.
I do.
Make that soup in the house.
Exactly. Oh, she is.
She
I just didn't ask.
It.
Yes. Yeah. It'll be coming down there. And the good thing for me with that establishment, I'm only two blocks from her house. One block from the
So it'll still be nice
setup.
And warm.
Yes.
Yeah. Listen, what kind of muffins you going there?
Well, the muffins are from my children.
Yeah, so what kind
so
of
So my youngest
boys?
Likes his chocolate chip muffin. So
my man.
I said, let's get one for Saturday, one for Sunday. But we'll get them both tomorrow so that we make the trip for the person significant. And my other one likes cinnamon scones.
Cinnamon. All right.
Scones.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in on the chocolate chip muffin for sure. And I would try the cinnamon scone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, you would like this.
I would like this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, when everything is all cleared up and I'm able to make my way down there,
exactly.
D, we'll do that. 610-632-0975. Let's head to the phones. Check in on some birds conversation with Brian in the Northeast here on 97.5. What's up, Brian?
What's up, Devon?
How you doing, man?
I need to know who you think. I'm happy with, Slay. I'm ecstatic. But what I want is a receiver, and who they getting?
Wow. It's hard to even say someone like
you do
Robbie Anderson.
It's second tier, though.
Second tier. It is difficult right now to say Robbie Anderson because Anderson, with the Jets having basically just Jameson Crowder right now until the draft, they probably want to bring Robbie Anderson back on an okay number for right now.
Did you read that one article where he was quoted as saying, I have unfinished business with the Jets?
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm okay for draft as long as I got, if I know who it is.
Well, I guess right now where they are 21, we go with Jefferson from LSU.
They got to move up, right?
So if they move up, they're going to have to get something else. Jefferson might be there 21. Maybe you have to move up a few spots before that. So I don't know. I really don't know at this time. Rashad Perriman, someone tweeted at me and said he re-signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I didn't see that. Not saying that they were wrong, but I just didn't see it. I thought he was still available. So with his speed, is that something you might want to also jump in? Because he had six touchdowns, and when Mike Evans went down with an injury, he actually played all right. And, we didn't see it with the Baltimore Ravens, but with the Buccaneers, he played okay down the stretch for the Tampa Bay Bucs.
I agree. I got two small business ideas.
Go for it.
I always go to small stores. Like, you hit the bakery, the bread bakery, the small butcher. I did four places a day, zero lines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure they were happy to see you, man.
Well, you get better stuff, too. You know what I mean?
Like,
no offense to Acme, but they're not real bakers. You know what I mean? So, and then I got one more. I don't know if it's controversial, but elected officials, they shouldn't get paid until everything gets lifted. Because if we're not getting paid, they shouldn't get paid.
Interesting, B. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Stay safe out there. What do you think about that, D?
I would say that I think I understand where he's coming from. There are a lot of those people that are working around the clock. I understand. I guess every elected official, is that what we're talking about? Every government person?
I guess that's where he was going.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where we that what you're trying to do in terms of, you know, I feel bad in the service industry because I don't think we understand how far-reaching service industry is considered. You know, from every person who cuts hair to people who do nails to now the butchers,
cleaners, some of the cleaners.
Yeah, that's not essential.
A lot of them are closed today. A big
controversy one was laundromat because originally laundromats were closed.
People still need to wash.
And they lifted that, and then they felt like, well, now you're creating a gathering of strangers. To go, but what are you going to do? I mean, people need to be able to.
I guess you just limit the amount during
how many people go in. That's what I would say, too.
Yeah. I mean, look at during normal times when school is in and you have certain stores, and those stores, through certain hours, say this amount of children are allowed in the store.
Right.
And everyone else has to wait.
Yep.
I went to my financial institution, and I just used the ATM, and they had. They had a representative at the door with a clipboard.
Sure, because
to sign,
absolutely.
And they had the people standing out. Luckily, it's nice weather. Standing outside, some were sitting in their cars, and they just came out and announced the name. You're next.
Yep. Well, that's better than having a bunch of people inside.
I know.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how many people were actually inside at one time. I just happened to see how they had it at that moment, and I was like, wow, this is what it's come to.
Yep.
Yeah, we try to have some fun and talk some other things, but it comes back to this, right? It definitely come up to this. Oh, man. 610-632-0975. As we talk some birds and everything. Mike English, Violent Gremlin, says, Eagles travel package down payment.
Ooh, nice.
Green Bay, San Fran, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. Take your pick. Pending the season is back in time. That's where he's going. That's what he's going to do. That's what Mike's going to do. Use that $1,000 gift card.
So he could have it at a travel agency.
Yep.
There you go.
Absolutely. So with the NFL, a lot of big moves. The biggest one, Tom Brady changing teams. No longer a New England Patriot. He is now a Tampa Bay Buck.
When he announced his on social media, were you surprised at all then?
Kind of, because deep down, it's... All right, they're going to figure it out. They're going to go back. He's going to go back.
You're right.
I don't know.
I will say this. The last conversation, which was, I feel like, a while ago, that he had with Belichick, that was not...
not pleasant.
No, at least the way it was reported.
Right.
But when he actually went to social media and said, I'm going to keep playing, but I will not be in New England, I was like, well, that's real.
It just got real.
But the funny thing is, you know, how it's increased the free agency to follow him, people expressing interest to go. And on the flip side, do you hear much about what the Patriots are up to?
Nope.
Isn't that interesting?
It is very interesting. And certainly with all the weird times going on, maybe they already have an idea of what they were going to do at quarterback anyway as a backup plan with maybe someone like Jacoby Brissett, who was in their system before. Do they go the Andy Dalton route as a holdover? Are they going to do something in the draft, right, where they have their eye on that?
Sure. I'm not going to be surprised at that, but does that solve your issue for
that's
this
why I think
upcoming
they go
year?
Vet. That's why I think they go vet.
I mean, I think you still draft somebody and start anew with your future plan. I guess you decide if you, and I can't imagine, Belichick, you know, I mean, you've had such a great run. Are you in it now to develop somebody and be bad for a couple of years?
Belichick, no, because I think he's going to want to prove that it wasn't Tom Brady.
Right, that it was him.
And if
that is the case, then he's got to go out and get a vet.
And that was a question.
Because you can't do it just with a guy you're taking in the
draft. That's why I'm thinking exactly that, like Brissett or Even Andy Dalton, Nick Foles, a lot of people thought, oh, yeah, look at this story. Leaving the Eagles, go to Jacksonville, doesn't work out. He goes and they're back in the Super Bowl with the Patriots this time. How does that play out? So I think they go out there and they get a veteran.
I do think, well, I mean, I'm not surprised we don't hear anything from him because he doesn't like to talk about anything.
No,
anyhow.
He won't say anything.
But
so this is perfect
very,
for him.
Very little buzz about, I mean.
Anything.
Plenty say GOAT and he's gone. And there's no real, well, what's your plan?
I don't know. But there's no way for me that he just sits on his hands and not have a quarterback that he feels comfortable with because he's going to want to go out there and win.
I'm just saying.
Once again, prove anybody wrong that thinks it was Tom Brady and not him.
Maybe he has a plan. It just seems to me it's a little slow. A little slow.
I hear you. I hear you. Yeah, a little bit slow. But listen, guess what? Good for them. That's their problem.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And I like it from afar because I've never been one that could not stand the New England Patriots. I've never been that guy. I'm always like, you know what? Listen, it's a dynasty. They're doing what they're doing. It's amazing to watch how they just continue to push forward and get it done. Never hated them like everybody else. Right now, though, I don't want to see them win anymore. I didn't want to see them win. I enjoyed watching them. I didn't necessarily root against them all the time. But now that it's over, all right, I'm glad it's over. It's done. The dynasty is over. Cool. Let's move on now. And they have to figure it all out. And now everybody else is going to try. You know how the Golden State Warriors had their issues this year?
Yes.
Sympathy from anyone in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Saying,
yeah.
Oh, no, we don't feel bad for them. Right?
No.
That's what your people say. No one is going to feel bad for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
No, nobody's
no
gonna
one.
Feel bad. No.
They're going to run the score up on them if they can.
You know what I don't think they, he won't allow that.
We will see.
We'll see. But I did just see, just as you started talking about how the Bucks, Chris Godwin, is going to allow Tom to decide if he gets number 12 or not.
Of course he's going to give it to him.
Well, because if he wants the ball all the time, you know, let the man decide.
And it's only the greatest of all time. You just give it to him and don't even.
Unless Tom just doesn't want to have anything to do with what he did in.
Well, he had it in Michigan.
Yeah, but.
He had Michigan, yeah.
I'm sure he doesn't mind.
Was he 10 at Michigan?
He didn't get to play much. He was the backup to what's his face?
Yeah, Drew.
Yeah, exactly. Not the Bledsoe. We weren't talking about that.
No. Yeah, Drew Henson.
Yeah, in Michigan.
I'm trying to think. I thought Tom Brady, you know.
But anyhow, I guess TB12 for the whole.
Got to keep it going.
Yeah, you got to keep it going.
Even though it's already established and he doesn't have to do it anymore.
No, but you don't want to.
Yeah, he was 10 in Michigan. That's what I thought.
All right, so if it's. I bet he's wearing 12.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, local guy, you'll get a lot of catches from Tom Brady if you give up that number. And you might get some other form of compensation.
Sure.
You know.
Yep.
So, 610-632-0975. And I did want to talk about this, Brady and Belichick and the legacy and all and, well, you know,
two competitive people.
It is something.
It's really not a head-to-head matchup, but somehow it will definitely be looked at who's doing what and who's doing it better next year.
It is something. 610-632-0975. D. Lineham, Devon Givens, Josh Rabick until 10 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
829 97.5 The Fanatic. D. Lineham, Devon Givens on this Friday night, Football Friday. Birds doing some big things. I'm sure a lot of people wanted some more or keep things simple, like keeping Malcolm Jenkins, that type of thing. But they've had to add some really good names in the form of Javon Hargrave and Darius Slay.
Because they added those names, did you find that people were a little more forgiving that they were moving on from Malcolm?
Forgiving, not necessarily. Give me a little more and I'll back off is what I've got.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I think the wide receiver position is the one that, at least to me.
Because a lot of people wanted DeAndre Hopkins, like myself.
And I read today where they just didn't like the asking price that the Texans were talking, right?
Yeah, well, Adam Schefter was on Wednesday, and we can actually get that cut. If Josh can pull that up from Wednesday, the Sound for Updates, where he was on with the morning show, and he talked about just that, where the Texans actually did speak to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of us were like, how didn't you get involved in this, Howie Roseman? Why did you not jump on this? Well, maybe they didn't call him because they had their eyes focused on David Johnson with the Cardinals. They got the running back in return and all of that. And then the next thing you know, here we have Adam Schefter with the morning show talking about it. And here it is right now.
The Texans did speak to the Eagles at one point about DeAndre Hopkins. And I think the Eagles decided at this point in time, with everything that you were going to have to do, you're going to have to pay the Texans. You're going to pay Hopkins a new contract, give up the compensation you would. I think that they decided that wasn't the right move. I don't know why, but for a reason, I think they believed it wasn't worth it.
What do you think, D?
I'd like to know what that money was. Like when they say you had to pay the Texans, you had to pay him with the new contract.
And the Texans, the compensation was, of course, the four. Was it? What was it? A four? David Johnson, a two this year, I believe, and a four next year with the fourth. So they basically swapped the fourth round picks.
Okay.
And Hopkins goes to Arizona.
Right. But I'm saying, what were you going to give?
I wonder if they asked for Miles Sanders.
Oh.
If they wanted a running back, I wonder if they asked for Miles Sanders.
Mm.
Yep, I wonder.
That's probably what it is.
Okay.
Right? Doesn't it feel like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Because what else would they have wanted that is of...
On this roster, maybe Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert.
I think they would have done that.
I would have. I have Dallas Goedert.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as I like Zach Ertz, I have two.
Sure.
I have two.
Yep.
And I'll draft another young one to back up Dallas Goedert as a pass catcher.
Keep just rotating it through.
Keep rotating
it. Keep that turnstile going.
Yes, indeed.
No, I'm going to bet that the name was Miles Sanders.
Would you? I think I would have. No, I know I would have. And why? Because of where you get running backs in the draft. You get them in the second round, in the third round now.
Yep.
You don't take them in the first round unless... With DeAndre Swift, we all root for local people. He's probably going to be the only one taken in the first round this year. And I root for him to have success in the NFL. After that, there's going to be a bunch of guys in the second and third.
Or even people you pick up who don't get drafted.
And the only problem there is Howie Roseman and his track record with drafting the running backs not named Miles Sanders. Like Donnell Pumphrey.
Move.
That's the only drawback of it. And Josh, you're shaking your head in there, and you're looking at it. So what would if the asking price was Miles Sanders, do you do it for DeAndre Hopkins?
I know this sounds ridiculous, but I don't, because I think you
doesn't
just
sound ridiculous.
Because you create this huge void at running back, and I love it when you land on a running back during their first contract. There's a reason why running backs hold out at the end of their first contract.
Yes.
Because they want to get paid the next big payday, because we know we usually just run backs in the ground.
Exactly. No, run them into the ground, and you always find them out there, so they don't get that contract.
And the guys that get taken in the first round early, now obviously Gurley was worth it until the second contract and then the knee. But at first he was worth it. He was a difference maker. Ezekiel Elliott was worth it. Difference maker. Now time will tell with the next contract, obviously, that's gone into place. But Saquon Barkley's another one where you look at these teams and you're like, man, these guys are absolute difference makers. And Miles Sanders might be that, just to a little bit lesser of an extent.
Sure.
And if you hit on that, it's good value. Might as well not create a void, especially if you think you can address the wide receiver position in the first round.
Did you see Gurley's when he got let go? It's on Twitter.
time to quarantine or something like that. Yeah, I saw him say that.
I lost my job and I was in quarantine. He had a very good sense of humor about it.
He knew it was coming. I mean, look
he
at
he did. And you know what?
His touches in production and, were down.
At that,
he knew
at
it.
That, you got it. I mean,
he knows the business.
Yeah, the business. That's and that's
he,
what I want.
And he
to say.
Knows what his needs are as well.
Well, he found a job.
He did find a job. Back to Atlanta he goes. Back to Georgia he goes.
Mm-hmm.
Playing for the Atlanta Hawks, of course, we know. I mean, Atlanta Falcons, we know he was once a Georgia Bulldog.
He might
Bulldog.
Play for the Hawks. Whoever comes back first, I'm in.
He'll be in shape. He'll be in shape when those guys need some bodies out there on the floor. 610-632-0975. You cold in here, huh, D?
Oh, my gosh.
You know me. I'm not a fan of the chill in here. Always turn the heat up, and with everything going on in here.
Exactly. I got news. Well, maybe they don't want anything to grow in here. Certainly can't. Right? It's freezing. It's a frost.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And you know me. As soon as I walk in the studio, bang, turn it all the way up.
Oh, my.
And we can't do that anymore because with all the construction and everything that's going on, the temperature is warm one day, it's cold the other day.
I am going to be prepared tomorrow, though. I'm coming with the winter coat as well as I'll be prepared to
and
have
the temperature
like,
is dropping a little bit tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'll be a little better off.
What time are you in tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'm noon to 4.
Noon to 4. A lot of stuff to talk about. You know, with everything going on with the hiatus.
And it'll be the first, like last weekend was the first where we had nothing. Now, you know, it's the second weekend of not having it. Like conference championships should have been for basketball last week. You should have had Selection Sunday last week. Now we're going to we'll be into what would be, you know, Field of 32 should be happening tomorrow.
So as we talked about and we asked the question, what has it been like for everyone with no sports? What do you miss the most at this time? So we're talking about this whole week. What are you missing the most? Because the Sixers are winding down, but they still have a couple of weeks. The tournament is going on right now. Hockey, the Flyers, at a great pace right there. What are you missing the most?
For me personally, mm-hmm. I had a slate of games that I was calling in March, and it just came to an abrupt halt.
So your schedule was already set.
Like, I had a good stretch for March, yeah. And, you know, what was that date? March 11th?
March 11th.
Yeah, so as of March 11th. And I like, you know, calling games this time of year. So, and the other thing, I got to tell you, I was really enjoying Princeton's women's basketball team.
Okay.
The 26-1, and the center Bella Allery, was named for a third consecutive year the Ivy League Player of the Year, but she was also named first team AP's first team
All American. Okay,
I mean it's only five people.
Yes,
and she's one of them
from Princeton.
She's up there with Sabrina's the goat.
Oregon.
Yep. And so I had really enjoyed, I called their games and, I was looking forward to seeing them. That Princeton in their entire time of existence, they've won 14 championships, but they have only ever won one NCAA game. They get there or they've gotten there.
They just don't win.
They won in the first round. And I thought this team, they had the number one scoring defense in the country.
In the country.
Yes. Right. And they had great depth. So I was really looking forward to watching. And you know me, I'm not really a big, you know, rah-rah, get on a bandwagon.
Yeah.
But I have watched, I've done their games for the last 3 years. I did not do Bella's first year. And I have really enjoyed watching her career and that group in general play. So that was one of the things I was looking forward to. I wanted to see Villanova, to be honest.
Yes, I did.
I thought they were in a weird, and when I say sleeper, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not talking.
No, they had their ups and downs for the season. They don't have that normal Villanova feel where
correct,
they're in the top
but
five.
But they would scare me if I had to see them, right? That would be, I don't think anybody wants to see Villanova
because they have the pedigree.
Yep, absolutely.
Even though the players are no longer there, but you still do have Colin Gillespie.
Oh, yeah.
You have many, you know, Roundtree, Crosby Roundtree, and Samuels. They've been there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have guys who have been,
and they have a great coach.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows how to win in March and in April.
Yes.
In April as well. And the field is open.
And no.
The field is open. I mean, 1 week is this team, next week is this team. The field was open.
Yeah. I know they put out the final. I mean, did anybody really need the final standings of coaches poll in
the top 25?
Yeah, top 25.
I didn't. You know what? I saw it. But it's been so long now. It has been so long that I don't.
It was anticlimactic.
I don't even remember. So we'll have to check on that one and see what it is, man. Oh, man. March Madness. I miss that the most.
You know what? Last weekend got me through one of my shifts for 2 hours. I had good calls on this. Did you see the cereal bracket? I might have to have Josh weigh in on this.
I saw it. I saw it. And I'm a big cereal person.
Me too.
I'm not an adult.
I got my cereal.
When it comes to breakfast, I'm not an adult. I go cereal.
Let me just say, before I saw it, because somebody sent me, but you know, you had to blow it up. I couldn't see anything. I said, if Cheerios is not a number one seed, then this is not for me.
Oh, we got to look this up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we got to look this up.
So then, but Josh, you'll appreciate this. And I'm talking to myself as I see that it's coming to me, the cereal bracket. So I'm talking to myself on the radio, and I say, but again, Cheerios has, like, stood the test of time.
They have.
Right? So it's kind of like having a Duke's Always There or North Carolina, you know what I mean? You know, it's test
the
of time.
Seed. Yeah.
However, you know, the new blood, who, like a Gonzaga over time, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Exactly.
And sure enough, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, because I know of my kids, I don't eat it. But Cinnamon Toast Crunch was the number one seed also.
Oh, we got to check this out.
Oh, you got to check it out.
And we got a soup little conversation that Connor Thomas and I were having with Josh back there as well. So 610-632-0975. We're talking about everything here as we get through COVID-19 together. D-Line, I'm Devon Givens, Josh Ravick here, producing the show. We're with you until 10 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Josh Ravick with the musical stylings here tonight on this Friday night. Taking us back to the simpler times on the beach. Summertime music here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm Devon Givens with you here until 10 o'clock.
I know they're trying to get people off the beaches in Miami for sure, but I did appreciate in the Philadelphia briefing today that the gentleman said, you know, the trails are open. We ask you that you keep distance between you, but they appreciate that some fresh air, especially on a day like today, and when people have been in their homes, a lot of people have been in, you know, that's, you're going on like 8 days now, and it's going to be many more.
Many, many more. So, well, you know, let's just continue to be smart while we're out here navigating through the city when we do step out.
Oh, my gosh. Can I tell you, like, that some of the videos that you do see, one of the great ones yesterday, I don't know if any, either you or Josh saw this, but I think she was seven. Mm-hmm. Seven-year-old girl who generally goes to dance class, a ballet class. And obviously she can't go to class. So she's still practicing her ballet at the house. And now that her father is working from home, he did the ballet routine with her yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they clearly have practiced many times now.
Mm-hmm.
It was outstanding. And the music helps make it.
Yes.
But she's seven. And he's all tatted up.
He's dad.
He's dad.
Right.
And there were a couple of people who said, like, how about Halle get on his toes? Like, he had pretty good arch in his feet.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That one was great. And today, there were two sisters. One was 7 and one was 5. And they were leading a... in this time where you can't go to your gym or take your yoga class, we can still work on being flexible. And they were started out like on, we're going to do plank. And they showed how to do plank. The 7-year-old was running it. The 5-year-old's next door. Hey, they were great.
There are some great videos out there. Great videos, great photos.
Oh, and some of the music that people are playing. How about the other day, Pink just sat down at her piano.
Did she?
In her living room, just sat down and started playing.
I saw one with John Legend.
Legend, he promoted his so you could listen.
It was basically a concert on social media.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And people were, it was on Twitch, I think, or all I know, you could,
Live
one of them, because you could respond.
Yeah, you can put the comments and stuff out there. No, it was great. I saw a great photo of that. We incorporated into the show a little bit yesterday. Matthew Berry of ESPN, the fantasy guru, and he been home, of course, during the quarantine, and his daughter set up the toilet seat with a empty toilet seat roll. I mean, toilet paper roll.
Okay.
But two actual toilet papers, toilet rolls on top of the seat.
Okay.
A hat on top of those two rolls.
Okay.
Which makes it look like the eyes.
Okay.
And the empty one is right in between.
The,
so it's like a cigarette coming out of the mouth of the toilet seat, and he says, she calls, Mom, the toilet is smoking. So both Mom and Dad run upstairs, and that's the photo that they get.
Oh, that's funny.
That's the visual that they get. It's pretty funny. It was really clever. So you've seen a lot of that stuff out there.
Yes. I have one more. One more was a guy, and this one, I didn't recognize his name as somebody who is a performer, but he has a newborn. And he's playing just a regular guitar, not an electric guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And the newborn, which is small, in the onesie, is laying on the curve of the guitar, which is in up against him. So the newborn is here. And he's singing. You could just see the breathing of the newborn that loves the soothingness of him singing. And the strum of the guitar is obviously vibrating back into the body of the newborn.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Clever. Some creative people out there.
Really?
Really creative people out there. 610-632-0975. And I do have your best cereal bracket. We will get to that. I'm looking at the one
seeds. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
I'm looking at the one seeds, and they're pretty good.
Oh yeah,
they're pretty good. So we'll get to that. And have some fun with that. But we go to Lance first in Arizona. Next on the Fanatic. What's up, Lance?
Hey man. So I had a cereal thing the other day on my Instagram. Like I posted like Golden Crisp against Honey Smacks, dude. I'm telling you, everyone voted Honey Smacks, man. But they changed that recipe because it says on the thing on the box it's not as good as Golden Crisp now, man. I was disappointed.
I'm a fan of the Honey Smacks over Golden Crisps, and I haven't had them in a while though, so I'm taking your word for it, Lance.
I'm telling you, it has at least the box that like I got. It's like new recipe, and I was like, man, I'm really disappointed because I thought they were better than Golden Crisps in the past, but I was like, not anymore, I guess. Anywho, so yesterday you told me to listen to Jason Vontang. He makes a lot of good points. My issue is this, going into that draft, waiting to get a wide receiver, there's about, like, if you go look, there's about 18 teams that have that same philosophy of, we're going to wait and get our guy in the draft. There's about 25, 30 guys in this draft that are good, but guys who can start and come out week one and give you that, I think it's going to be less, because you're not going to have a mini camp. You're probably going to have a pushback training camp, and it's going to be a smaller one. A shorter one, so you're going to have to get them up to speed faster, so you're already behind in that. The reason why I said I would have went to the secondary market for cornerbacks, I think there was more secondary cornerbacks that you could have gotten at a good price, and when you do that, you're going to have to now wait to see if Robbie Anderson's price drops down to a place where you're comfortable to do it, and you have to make him want to come to you, because I think he's going to take a one-year prove it contract to get back on the market next year when the draft class is less.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to convince him to come play for the Eagles at the price that you're doing or somebody like that. Otherwise, you're going into the draft and teams are going to know you want to get certain players or the guys that fit your thing.
But they already know that. You know they know this stuff ahead of time, and that's why they're able to leapfrog, because they'll get some information from somewhere. They'll jump over you because they have an idea. And I got your point about what Jason was saying last night, where he, you know, you wait a little bit longer and get some of those other talented players. You're right. Everyone else is doing it. Everyone wants wide receivers in general, Lance, because of what the league has become. So it's just a matter of who gets it first, which ones you take, and which one fits best for your system, and you get DK Metcalf instead of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, hopefully.
Well, see, that's what really, really hurts the Eagles right now, is that not only is J.J. or J.Jaw didn't have
and look at that.
Year.
You would have Miles Sanders and J.J. Arcega, I mean, and Metcalf.
Well, not even that. Even if you went and got a safety, you wouldn't need to get a safety in the first two rounds, and you'd be better off. The thing about with J.Jaw is, though, he didn't have a good rookie year. He might not have a second year that's very good, because he's not with the coaching staff and working with them and proving on his stuff. He might do it on his own. But that doesn't mean that's super concerning, because now you're year two. He's going to be behind because of all this, and you're hoping that he's picking it up on himself, but he might not. And then you're just down to Deshaun, and I love Deshaun Jackson, but man, the dude at 3 out of 5 years hasn't played more than 12 games.
No, you're right.
So that's a super concerning thing. That's why when I look at it, I get cornerback, they had a huge need. I'm not saying they're not. They didn't. To me, I could have survived with the secondary market. You saw everyone was going after secondary corner market, because
I was too, and I agree with you, Lance, until Darius Slay was actually available. I'm in. Listen, man, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Plus, it sounded like Darius, the interest had dated back to
last season. When
exactly.
They were targeting him at the trade deadline.
Right.
And the word was, the report at the time was a two.
Yep.
That was the asking price. A second round pick. You got him for a 3 and a 5. And maybe you can say that the overall 3 and 5 equals a 2 with the way that everything plays out on the chart of the draft picks and all that stuff. But listen, man, you got the guy you wanted.
Right.
And I like Trufant. I like Xavier Rhodes. Names that are out there, right? Logan Ryan, Xavier Rhodes. We think they can still play. We know he can play.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I saw, did you see the two stats that came, and I always wish I set them aside.
Yeah.
The one
what I do is I just text them to myself.
Yes.
That's what I do.
I know. The one was two plays, I believe, of giving up 50 yards or more happened in his rookie year.
And
none have happened in the time that has passed.
And he hasn't since. Yeah,
right.
He does not give up big plays.
Right.
Or.
And the other, I'll find the other one because it's good. I'm going to get it to you.
A lot of good with Darius Slay.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I'm thrilled that they have him.
And the interceptions, I think, is legit.
19
for his career.
8 in 2017. They've dipped since 4 and 3 or 3 and 2. I can't remember.
I think it's 3 and 2. But
three
the 8 is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was an all pro that year. 610-632-0975.
And it sounds like he needed to get out of his current situation.
He absolutely did. And he came to the right situation, we hope, here in Philadelphia. D-line, I'm Devon Givens, Josh Raby producing. We'll continue the Eagles conversation. I'll still ask you guys the question about Brady and Belichick. And we have to throw in this. I have to take a look. Josh and I know about the cereal bracket that D was running with over the weekend, plus the soup problem with Connor Thomas and I right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. D. Lynam, Devon Givens, Josh Rabick producing the show. 610-632-0975. We've been everywhere. Philadelphia Eagles, Philadelphia 76ers, the NBA overall, the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, on and on and on with all of these different topics. Of course, all of it impacted because of the coronavirus and what it's doing. We understand, and we hope we've been able to keep you guys company all week long here on the Fanatic from 6 a.m. until midnight, and tonight 10 o'clock. Just trying to do our part and stick around with everyone and try to have a good time and try to have as much of a simple life as we can here on the Fanatic and with you guys. And let's be honest, we want to make this clear too. You guys keep us company. You guys give us something to do, give us something to talk about, and for some, just to get out of the house, right? So we appreciate you as well. And tough times for everyone, but nothing, I don't think, I hope, and knock on wood, that we can't handle here during this time. We'll see how long this goes, but we all need each other. We're all standing up for each other, and we're all trying to get through this thing together.
Absolutely. And you know what? I even appreciated some things. Even, like, you almost get emotional. I was walking home from the supermarket, and a woman who lives in my neighborhood, when I first moved to Philly, and you know, I've been here 20 some years now, mm-hmm. She worked at a coffee store that I used to get coffee when I would go to morning yoga over, you know, about 10 blocks from my house. Mm-hmm. Now, she was at the time, I didn't know this, but as I got to know her getting my coffee, she was putting herself through nursing school at the time. Mm-hmm. She now is a nurse. And she now lives literally a half a block from me. And I always remember her from the coffee. Right. Anyhow, today she was out walking her dog. And I always call her by her name. I don't even know if she remembers my name, but I always remembered her name. And anyhow, she goes, are you doing okay? And I said, I am. And so she goes, these are difficult times, but to stay safe. I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad your kids are okay. And it was just like so heartwarming.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I always say hello if I pass her on the street, but we don't really have any conversations. And she like yelled across the street just to make sure I was okay.
That's cool.
It was.
That is really nice.
Very cool.
And it was a nice day. And that's the tough part too. It's a nice day like this today. You get ready for spring. First day of spring yesterday. And we all have to be in the house.
Yeah,
because of what's going on. But you can eat cereal while you're in the house. And Dia's been doing that tonight. And Dia and her kids have been doing that at home along with the husband. And Josh has been doing it. So real fast, the top four seeds here on this, at least the one that I have. You tell me if this is the one that you...
I'm pretty sure it will be, but go ahead.
So me and Josh have not seen this one. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I don't know who the top seed is, but Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Frosted Flakes, Lucky Charms, Honey Nut Cheerios. Are those the four that you remember?
That's
being
what
the top
I remember.
Seeds?
Yeah.
All right. The number two.
The two seeds were pretty good too because I was like, oh, cool.
Fruit Loops.
I don't like them. My kids were happy.
Cap'n Crunch Berries.
I was surprised at that.
I'm
one.
A big fan of both of these, by the way, Fruit Loops and Cap'n Crunch Berries. Honeycomb and French Toast Crunch.
Which is kind of, I think, at least for me, is new on the scene.
Josh, do you know the French Toast Crunch? I've seen it, but I've never had the French Toast Crunch. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, yes. French Toast Crunch, I have not had those.
I have had the French Toast Crunch.
Are they worthy of a two seed?
I probably would list them maybe more like the three or four seed. I'd probably go back a little bit, but because they're a little bit like CT Crunch as far as you want to get them early and everything, but they have more of a consistency of like a Captain Crunch than they do the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, so I'd say they're a little bit of a hybrid.
Right, so the other part that came up on the weekend, this is not unusual for me, not just to bring it here, but I always eat my cereal dry.
So, and
Can
we give it to the people just to let them know that you have like a trail mix?
Yeah, I have medley.
Of cereal.
Yeah.
A mixture of the cereal in the storage bag, the freezer bag.
In the freezer bag. But this is what I would do in my bowl at home anyhow. So that became another part of the...
No milk.
No milk, ever.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I'll drink a glass of milk when I'm done.
But no cereal.
No.
No milk.
I don't like soggy cereal.
That changes the complete way that this tournament plays out.
Of course. That's why you can tell that I was happy to see where my Rice Krispies were and my cornflakes.
All right. So I like where you're going with the, you don't like the soggy cereal. So here's what I always done with the kids, right?
Yes.
Because they would get on my, they still do get on my nerves with this because they would waste it, right?
Exactly. You cannot do
that.
You
can't waste it.
Cannot waste it.
So I would always say, girls, number one, you put the amount of cereal that you want in there.
Yep.
But you don't, for me, for them, don't fill it all the way up with milk.
No.
Eat what you want to eat. And if you still have cereal and you feel like it's still a little crunchy, then you
pour
more,
a little more milk.
You add more milk. This way you're not wasting cereal.
You cannot do the reverse.
No.
You can't pull the milk back out.
No. And even if you go a nice amount of cereal, you still put a little less milk.
A little
less. This way
milk.
It's on the bottom. You kind of mix everything up. Boom. Go to town. Oh, I need more milk. Cool. Or if I have milk left, now I can dump some more cereal in there.
Look at you two crafty cereal veterans passing down your knowledge.
Right?
It's perfect.
I'm like, girls, what are you doing?
I've turned my youngest, never dreamed he would like cornflakes, right? But I had cornflakes in the house because since I was doing the shopping and we're all eating, I'm going to make it something I like for sure. So, and there's one sweet one in there. I don't know what.
Yeah.
But he's eaten me. He went through my whole bag of cornflakes in the first 3 days of the week. Yeah.
He's
like, I like these cornflakes. Yeah. They're crunchy.
I need sugar. I need sugar in my cereal, certain ones. Rice Krispies. I need sugar in my Rice Krispies.
Yeah, no. I like hearing the, do you ever hear the snap, crackle, and pop?
Yes, I do. With the sugar.
So did the Rice Krispie treat cereal make the list at all?
Oh, that's a good one.
Because I am a fan. It's an underrated cereal,
Wow,
Josh.
What a concept. I didn't even know they did that.
Because I was the same way as Devon. I would always add endless amounts of sugar to the regular Rice Krispies,
so
and I found Rice Krispie treats. And
yes.
I'm looking, yes, 7 seed.
Not bad.
I'm okay with that. It would win in my bracket, though, against Cap'n Crunch, Cap'n Peanut Butter Crunch. And it did in this one. Rice Krispie Treats advanced to face Honeycomb, who is a 2 seed again.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's good. It's good.
Honeycomb might be on upset alert.
No doubt.
Yes, absolutely.
No doubt.
If my kids knew there was a Rice Krispie treat cereal, I'd be in trouble.
It's a very good cereal.
It's in like a purple box,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, it is. Yesterday I was having a conversation with someone about it. They was like, they don't make those. I'm like, oh yeah, they do. yeah, they do. Let me show you. Because they are good.
I will say, I had a really look and I found one box of Cheerios at the start of the week. There was one big box. I wanted the big one. There was nothing else left on the Cheerios shelf. Yeah, regular.
Okay.
But today when Cheerios have been restocked. So there's two boxes of Cheerios, one Rice Krispies and one Corn Flakes on the shelf right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan of the cereal. I am. And I appreciate that you do the same thing with the milk and cereal.
With my kids.
The same amount. Come on. Yeah. Let's be better, kids.
Let's work with each other here.
Let's be better. Josh, real quick, before we get to D and talk about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, because I had a question. We haven't gotten your thoughts on the Darius Slade thing, Malcolm Jenkins.
Oh, I do have the stat, too.
Okay.
93 targets, only 3 touchdowns this year.
That's why you go get him.
Yeah.
That's why you extend him.
Here's what I'll say, too. Like, we talked about how he was looking at Slay for a while now, a year, 2 years now. He's had Slay on his list.
Yep.
Well, now you got to make it work. And obviously, if you were going to go after a corner in some fashion, it'd be difficult to keep Malcolm Jenkins. It makes more sense. So I'm a big proponent of it's a risk to go after a cornerback because it's always going to look a little bit different from team to team, from scheme to scheme. You don't know what you're going to get.
Does it help you that Schwartz was there when he was drafted?
It does help a little bit.
Right? I don't know. I'm throwing it out there.
I will also say, I think.
Also Slay, huh?
Nice little slip there of the tongue. I'll say that Slay and Jones both have proven a lot to me. I do think Slay's proven more as far as being battle-tested. I thought Jones has proven to be more versatile as far as being able to man up and then play in some type of zone as well as a converted safety. So he plays both really well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say this. You go and you get your guy, but the last thing you need to do is take a chance on a corner, and then also with Malcolm Jenkins, you'd be taking a chance if you would have extended him.
Sure.
With all the miles on his body, he's been great, but every year you're taking the chance, is this the year where he has the dip and he becomes older?
Interesting.
Did you see the, I think it was yesterday's article in the well, Inquirer.com at this point, I think is what I should refer to everything. But yeah. Ed Barkowitz was just like those who didn't finish their careers here. And he broke it down into the different sports, like an Eric Lindros was on there. Iverson was on there.
Right.
Reggie White was on there, you know, and obviously now Malcolm Jenkins, certainly. But then at the end, he did the reverse. Those that we got at the end of their careers, some of the Flyer ones I had forgotten about, like Yarmir Yager,
mm-hmm.
and who was
Peter Forsberg?
Forsberg was on there, right?
What was the one from?
They at least gave you something. Van Beesbrook's the one where I look at him like,
didn't they go get Adam Oates late?
Wait a minute, the goaltender?
Yeah, that was Bush's rookie season. That's where we thought Van Beesbrook was going to be
the cup run, right?
You guys, I remember I did an unbelievable story with Van Beesbrook. I remember because I shot. How do you tell a story about his brother had committed suicide?
Oh,
and he was sharing the story about it. But what do you use for video when you're trying to do this? So I went to, after I had done the interview, I went to a church to shoot like different stained glass and different things that would kind of take you. It's really how you see some stories where you really do have to have images that are over what a person is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But and part of it was because it obviously would test your rock your faith when something like that. Yeah, but I always remember, and maybe that's why I was a little partial because I liked the guy a lot. But I see what you're saying in terms of going out and getting a guy after his time.
Well, now I sound like a rotten 11-year-old kid.
No, not at all.
You didn't know.
But that article, I thought, Kukoc was on there, Glenn Robinson for Sixers wise.
But see, Kukoc worked for me. They had to give him up in the trade in the Ratliff deal. I thought him off the bench
was,
it would have helped that finals run.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one worked.
No, but that he was not of the same ilk as he had been with the Bulls.
Nope.
Was the
but
point.
He wasn't Weber.
No.
He wasn't Robinson.
No.
He wasn't Van
Horn. I couldn't
Horn.
Believe he didn't have Weber on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless I missed it.
But. I always bring that Kukoc one up in that trade.
Yep.
People forget he was in that deal.
Except for one, and I hear you, but Ratliff ends up never being able to play again that year. And if you don't have Dikembe, I'm sorry, I don't think you get
to
the final.
I was always of the belief that year that you just run it out and just hope that Theo comes back.
Well, he never came back.
No, he did not. But he did. Also, he was playing for the Atlanta Hawks.
I will tell you.
Well, you know better. You were there.
From him, knowing him. And I like Theo as a guy. He was not coming back, even if he was here.
Mm.
No.
Now, you talk about Josh and his 11-year-old self. D, don't hurt my 2001 self, where I had this theory that him coming back.
I preface it by saying, but he was very...
Nazi and Todd McCullough in the middle for a little bit of a run there. A small ball.
Oh, my. Nazi Muhammad, Todd McCullough.
Mm. That was the duo at the time.
I know.
That was the duo at the time. And it was like, hold on. All-star Theo.
I know. I'll never forget. I remember.
Tape the hand up.
Oh, yep.
Put the glove on, whatever you need to do.
But what a lot of people don't know, that the hand was part of it. But remember then the following year he also was saying he was dealing with a core injury?
Yeah.
The whole thing was happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I was like, look, don't do it. 41-14. This is how good it was at that time. I remember. Everybody, 41-14,
absolutely.
Start off the season 10-0. The 10th game that they won was against the New York Knicks. We remember all of that stuff.
Sure.
That run, losing game one against the Indiana Pacers on that Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely.
Sunday afternoon.
And winning the first game against the Lakers. I was at that one out there. That was a beauty. And I remember
that was fun, wasn't it?
That was so fun. And I remember saying, this is going to be good.
And in game two. All right, see, we didn't got it started. We're about to fill out this segment with the Sixers 2001 run. They should have won game two, and they should have won game three. Because Shaq got in that foul trouble.
He did.
And Robert Horry, Brian Shaw, and I think there was one more. It wasn't Fisher, but I think it was Robert Horry and Brian Shaw who went off on the Sixers. And there was a big three late in the corner after Shaq had fouled out. And Dikembe just did not take advantage of that opportunity. He just didn't.
Yep.
Didn't. All right, if you lose game two, That's fine because you're in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but then you got to come home and get that.
You got to come home and take game three after you get him in foul trouble.
And that was really the problem, losing the game three.
Yes.
By then, now it's done.
It's like Toronto. Yeah. It's like Toronto last year.
Yeah,
where you were up 2-1.
Yep.
You have to win game four.
Yeah, you got
to going back to Toronto.
Yeah.
Go up 3-1, going up to Toronto, close that thing out. If not, come back game six. Milwaukee, we'll see you in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Exactly.
Right? And that's where I was, again, I remember all of that. Dikembe was, why he had to be so good in the game that Shaq fouled out in game three is because he was being destroyed. As no fault of his own, that was the best Shaq ever in 2001, that season. That was the best Shaq.
That is the best Shaq.
That was the best Shaq.
That the world
ever. Dikembe was a defensive player of the year. He was lifting him off of his feet with his back downs, D. You saw it.
John,
he was backing him down, and as his shoulder went into his chest, Dikembe was off the, it was the woof, woof, and then dunk on him. You had to win game three. Had to.
And that.
They were undefeated at that time, game one.
And each round, you had a different award that was given because they swept it that year, the Sixers did.
Yeah.
So I think the first one that was given was McKee.
Aaron was sixth man of the year.
And
Brown was second.
I think that was second.
Yeah. Was Brown second?
It's that or defensive player. I mean, Al was during the...
Allen was last.
He was last.
Eastern Conference Finals, right?
And then, so Larry must have been the one before. I would bet that it went that sixth defensive Larry Allen.
Think about that.
And I don't know if you always remember so they gave Iverson his MVP at a hotel.
And he had
the Lowe's. Yeah. And he sat on Larry's...
Larry had Larry sit on his lap. Yes.
And, yeah, I remember that. And I remember thinking, because it was an off day that they did it at the... I think it was at the Lowe's, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Okay. I love that time.
And they were good times. They were good times.
Then they blew it the next season, because they had to give Dikembe the money.
Oh, but then he did it. He was able to move him, thank God.
Yeah.
That season, the next year was...
Then it was just ridiculous. Yeah. You had Matt Harpering, Keith Van Horn, Chris Webber.
They all could have been on
Glenn
the list.
Glenn Robinson. Yes, all of them on the list. Then you started giving money to Kenny Thomas, who I liked Kenny Thomas when he was in Houston, but the money was just ridiculous. Greg Buckner, Lee Nalon would get money. Like, guys like that, you know what I'm saying? And you were never able to capitalize off of that run that you had that should have been going on because you paid Eric Snow. Didn't have to. I understand it. It's the Howie rule right now with Malcolm Jenkins, Jason Peters, Darren Sproles.
Sure.
All these guys can't get sentimental. You paid Eric Snow.
Right.
You paid Aaron.
Thank you for your service.
I would have paid Aaron, though, because Aaron was still playing good at that time. I would have paid Aaron. I would not have paid E. Snow. I would have went out and got something else. And yes, you gave Dikembe the money, but you can't pay Eric Snow. You have to do something else at the point guard position. You have to. You have to shore up your bench a little bit better. George Lynch getting hurt, all of that stuff, right?
That was tough.
That was tough. Didn't Ty Hill get another contract after that?
I don't think he did here.
No, because I remember the original contract was like $40 million. That was fine because they got to the finals.
I don't remember him that following year, but I could just have him going together.
Right. He might have went back to, I don't remember where he went. Did he go to Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Yeah, he went back to Cleveland.
I think he went back to Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah. See, this is, this
is
us.
A long time ago.
It's us right here. Yeah, we remember all of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Because that was fun. Rajah Bell was turning into Rajah Bell later.
Yep, never could be here, but he did somewhere else. Same as Bruce Bowen. He was sitting at the end of our bench and later.
Let me ask you this.
Would do just fine in San Antonio.
Because you know I'm a Mo Cheeks guy.
Yes.
Through and through.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Mo Cheeks guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Matt Barnes thing. Matt always tells the story. That Mo told him, I don't know why you're shooting after practice extra work because you're not going to be in this league. You ever hear that? You never heard that story?
If I did, maybe I blocked it out because I can't believe that.
He has no reason to make it up.
No, he doesn't.
Because he was fighting to stay in the league. And he said, one day after practice, at this time I think it was PCOM. It was no longer St. Joe's, it was PCOM.
I could see Mo saying something like that.
Really?
If there was some kind of...
But he was on like a 10-day contract, and then they signed him, and he was just trying to catch on in the league. He went to New York, he started playing, he was starting, then they cut him, and turned out that he turned into the player that he is with Golden State.
Golden State was his real time.
Yeah, but it was like, wow, that's Mo. Mo doesn't say things like that.
But I'd also like to know if he... You know how people say it's a conversation, then all of a sudden you're saying it joking, but you're not joking.
And I would say that would have been Mo, but
that would
Matt
be
Barnes
Mo.
Never let it go. And yeah, I never looked at him as a hold a grudge guy. It was more of a, I have an attitude type of guy, not a hold a grudge guy.
Well, Barnes has been in some other situations where there are some grudges being held.
True.
So just if there's repeated there... Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to do a little investigating.
Yeah, I like that flashback.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was fun. I love that flashback. 10-0, trade 41-14. I'm like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. We all liked him, but then you fall in love with him at the All-Star game even more because he's in in your locker room and all of it.
Iverson was a big part of that.
I know.
He knew the guy wasn't going to be able to come back.
And it was right. They got to the finals.
Yep.
My thing was after.
Oh, I know.
And it wasn't just that. I was mad at Billy King for a while for that stuff. Can't give East Snow that contract. You just cannot. Cannot. Sorry. 610-632-0977. You don't have to say anything. I'll say it. I don't know Billy King. He does not know me.
Oh, no. It's no problem.
Yeah, I'm saying. E. Snow should not have been given that contract that year. Oh, man. And he balled out. Played with the foot in the final, the playoffs, and hit the one-foot runner from the left wing. I remember when Aaron hit the shot in overtime from the left wing, the jump, the three-pointer, when Allen just, it's the fourth quarter. You're already in like minute number 47 for him, right? In overtime, he speeds past everybody. Boom, snap pass to the left wing. Aaron knocks down the three.
Knocks it down.
Timeout, Lakers. I remember all of that. Let's go to break. 610-632-0975. D-line him, Devon Gibbons. We did a little finals flashback run. Jay wants to talk about it when we get back. Everybody else, 610-632-0975. Josh Ravick producing here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
928, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hope you guys enjoyed that flashback. 2000-2001 season, 2001 finals run against the Lakers, falling 4-1 in the finals. But man, it was fun every night. You look forward to it every single night that those guys stepped on the floor.
I mean, people forget back-to-back seven games. And the seventh game in your building.
Everyone always remembers the Toronto one over the Milwaukee one, which was the, finals.
That was just because of Vince Carter. Yeah. And also because he'd gone to graduation in the morning. So there was a story about it. Right?
Oh, man. All of that stuff was fun.
So funny.
And even then, it's like, all right, Alvin is coming off of, was it the Knicks series where Toronto played? Or that was another? But I just remember Alvin Williams going crazy on the Knicks in round one.
Oh, yes.
Crazy. I think at that time, that's when he was, it might have been Chris Childs. He was lighting Chris Childs up. And it was like, oh, he's going to get him cut. Right? Because they couldn't stop Alvin.
No.
Alvin was destroying them.
Now that I think about that, that's it. They played the Knicks in the first round?
I believe that was the one in the first round.
I think that I had that series for TNT because I remember that when they won that round, usually you have, like, if it were the Sixers, I'm just going to interview Iverson, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No, they wanted me to get all of them out on the court, like off starting five. And I just went down the line and asked each of them a question. And it was so unique because they really felt like, wow, this team beat the Knicks, not like their star.
Yeah. All right, let me see real fast. It was, let me see, the finals, Lakers, Sixers. So the Raptors over the Knicks, 3-2.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, because and that's what it was, because I had the game five, which was so cool. If you worked for, you know, it's just like working a game seven back then. But
yeah.
And if you got to do the final game and it was, you know, one team's going to be on the boat with their gone fishing hats.
Right.
And yeah, they had me. I had all the Raptors out there. They're starting five in my post game. It was fun.
That is cool.
Right on. And we're at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was a five game series. Remember
exactly
that?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Right. And it was in New York.
In New York.
And this is back when I still worked skating. I don't know if I've ever told
you that.
Figure skating stuff. So all of my skating friends that I worked with, a lot of them were Canadian. And they all remember
Raptors.
Seeing me. My one friend, Barb, she has the greatest Canadian accent. And there was our little D standing in the middle of all five of them.
Yo, these giants.
Right. Because
the smallest one is like, Alvin Williams at 6'4".
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And they all remember seeing me in interviewing their team.
So here it is, real fast. And Chris Childs was actually on the Raptors at that time. He had already moved on. So that was my bad. It was Mark Jackson that he was destroying along with Charlie Ward and Rick Brunson, who only played two games. But Charlie Ward and Mark Jackson were the two guys in the, you know, the point guard rotation at that point. So here were Alvin's numbers for the series. Alvin averaged. So Vince led the team in scoring 22.8.
Yep.
He shot 37% from the field. So, you know, he's taking whatever amount of field goals a game because he's Vince Carter. He can take however many that he wants. Alvin averaged 17.4 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, shot 78% from the free throw line, 50% from deep, 45% from the field, 77 attempts overall, only 6 turnovers, 20 assists, and trying to see 6 of 12 from behind the 3-point line for that 50% that we're talking about, and 11 of 14 from the free throw line. He was just giving it to him. 9 steals, leading the team in the series.
Oh, yeah.
He was giving it to him. Yeah. I remember because I was watching him like, yeah, Alvin, get him. Bang. Get him again. Bang. Because you know you don't like the Knicks. Get him again. Yes. Bang. Oh, man. Let me tell you about the Fanatic Deal of the Week. Saves you money with a $50 gift certificate to the pub in Pennsauken for just $25. Hurry. This exclusive offer from the Fanatics Deal of the Week is only available while supplies last. These gift cards do not expire. So get them now. Use them later. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. And as we talk about helping out with Operation Shop Local, you know, even with the pub in Pennsauken, Deal of the Week, fantastic deal. $50 gift certificate for $25. All right. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Jay in Cheltenham, D. Check in with Jay and see what he has to say. What's up, Jay?
Two of my favorite people. What's up, family? How y'all doing?
Jay,
doing all right. How are you, sir?
D, Devon, I echo the sentiments, man. My heart is hurting as we sit here and reflect on the 0-1 finals, man.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I remember, here's one thing I do remember. I remember, this was my, our yearbook signing night at Cheltenham High School. We were signing yearbooks, pretty much seeing everybody for the last time because we graduated that year. And, I'm sitting there watching my clock and sweating. I'm like, yo, the finals get ready to start in about 5 minutes, man. Let's wrap up these yearbooks. And, you know, I was like, I'm not going to see these guys again, but I'm like, I don't care. We about to square off with Kobe Bryant.
That's right.
You know what I mean? We got to go. So I remember the wild roller coaster ride of game one and us stealing that one. You knew they were going to come back in game two. But then in game three, just to go back to what y'all were saying a minute ago, when Shaq fouls out of that game, the golden opportunity is there. And I'm like, I specifically, and correct me if I'm wrong, I remember we called a timeout. It was like 30 seconds left in the game, 40 seconds or something like that. They ran a triangle offense coming out of the timeout, swung the ball here, swung it there. Fisher touched it. Shaw touched it. hit Ori in the corner for a wide open three.
Yeah, 15 points that night. Yep.
My spine broke. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Ori.
Well,
deep in the corner.
Hold on. Robert Ori in the fourth quarter played 10 minutes and 44 seconds. Shaq only played 7:52.
Mm-hmm.
Ori had 12 points, 3 of 3 from the floor, 2 of 2 from deep, and he got to the line four times, making all four. Robert Ori doesn't get to the free throw line.
Didn't we go to overtime too in that game?
This game,
Game 3?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, 96-91. And to your point, that's just when they just got him at the end. And Ori scored 12 big points in the quarter.
I could not believe
Kobe only had four. Kobe was 1 of 4 in the quarter.
Yes, and that was the thing. We had him under control. So to let Ori, it was almost a situation where it's like you can rotate with so much, but then you got to give up something to get something. If you're going to get the ball out of Kobe's hands and end up with an Ori three, I know you don't want Big Shot Bob shooting that three, but then you got to look at the fact that McKee was battling, Blue was battling some injuries, and George Lynch was gone. He wasn't even
out there.
Yeah, you had Rajah Bell playing 10 minutes,
Jones definitely was a.
He played 12 minutes in the fourth quarter. So Allen had 14 in that quarter, 2 of 7 from the floor. So he struggled, but he got to the line 12 times, making 9 of them.
Of course he did.
I was saying to the producer that I don't think that the team would have gone back anywhere next year, as evidenced by getting put out by Detroit. But I don't think it was just a matter of bring this person back or bring this person back. I think if we had switched out anybody, Snow, McKee, Lynch, it would have disrupted the chemistry and the nucleus we had around Allen, and I don't think it would have worked.
Well, here's my thing with that one, Jay. Thanks for the call, man. That's great, man. I appreciate you jumping in on the conversation. My thing with that one, D, is Larry Brown, as great of a coach as he is, he had a fantastic year, coach of the year.
Yep.
He pressed every right button that year. Next year, maybe it would not have worked, but you at least had the belief that it would have worked had he and Billy decided on what that point guard would have been. It would have worked.
And I will say this. One of the things over time, people always said Larry could coach Larry's teams.
Yes.
Others could not coach Larry's
teams.
That's my point.
You go out there.
So
and get that
I would
guard,
say that they, he would have found a way with whatever he decided.
They would have
decided.
Chosen that guy together.
Exactly.
Right. Right. So that was fun.
That was.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at this box score and I'm like, Kobe, and let me see what the Kobe had 32, Shaq had 30 in this game that they won 96-91, but again he fouled out. He had 6 personal fouls, he fouls out. Allen, the Sixers were led by Allen with 35, took 30 shots, got to the free throw line 13 times, making 10. Mutombo had 23, but he needed to do more when Shaq fouls out.
I know.
Right, but he got into trouble, of course, because you have these other guys like Ori out there playing and all that. Snow was coming off the bench at that point, 14 points off the bench, 4 of 11. So when he takes 11 shots, you're already like, Tyrone Hill, 1 of 7. Aaron, 2 of 8. You know he was battling the injuries, but he was fighting through it. Jermaine Jones played 17-43. Jermaine Jones will always do this. Start the game. Hit the first three that he takes, and then we don't see him again.
Right. No.
Right. He took 2 shots the entire game. Rajah Bell, 1 of 5. McCullough played 7 minutes and 45 seconds. Matt Geiger, 2 of 2, 5 minutes. Kevin Ollie, 1 for 1 from the field. And it was an and one because he got he had 3 points. I think it was an and one. He had 3 points. All right. Nice little flashback right there. 610-632-0975. Adam, we'll get to you when we get back. Final segment for D and I because we sign off at 10 o'clock tonight. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick is doing a fantastic job as always producing the show. D Lineham, Devon Gibbons, final segment coming up on the other side. Adam, we'll get to you when we get back here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com.
text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Final segment here, 97.5 The Fanatic, 944, D-Line them, Devon Givens, Josh Ravick. Guys, this has been fun. Josh, D, this has been fun.
It has.
Tonight, so really appreciate it. Appreciate it all week. Appreciate all the callers jumping in all week. We know, again, it's a tough time, and we are not a lot of content out there, but we still have sports things to talk about that is relevant to the situation and to our city. And just us in general as friends and over all of these years where we are able to talk to you and connect with you during these tough times. So we really appreciate you all week. And not only are if we're helping you, we're glad to do it, but you're also helping us as we get through everything here. So
I got
really
two words for you.
Yes.
I'm staying right here.
That's right. That's right. Josh Raven, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be here. And we will be going until 10 o'clock going forward because they do want to protect us and get us off the streets and out of the building at a decent time. So Joe Torti and I will no longer be going until midnight for the time being, until everything is all sorted out with the coronavirus. We'll go until 10 o'clock. So Monday, I'll be back at 6 o'clock going until 10. Joe Tuesday, me Wednesday, Joe Thursday, and Friday. I'm not sure if it's me or Joe or both of us or whatever it might be. So we'll see. D, you're in tomorrow, 12 noon to 4 o'clock.
Yep, both days.
Both days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Settling into 12 to 4 these next couple of weekends.
Okay, cool. All right, well, that's great.
Yeah.
We'll keep pushing. As Josh just said, courtesy of...
We're not going anywhere.
George Costanza, great Frank Costanza.
We're
not going anywhere.
I do have to tell you, so, you know, we were saying movie night in our house.
Yeah, yeah.
But we also, Jeopardy, I've been watching every night.
Okay.
And I don't do as good on Jeopardy. I mean, it depends on the category.
I'm terrible.
Yeah. But Wheel of Fortune, I'm getting better at it.
Okay.
Yeah. But this kid on the spring break, he went to Ball State the other day. I called him. He is that game's version of a card counter.
Is he really?
And he went home with $45,000 worth of cash and prizes.
Rolling. That guy's rolling. Before we get out of here, we got to do the soup thing before we get out of here. Let's go to Adam.
Adam, yeah, let's check
in. Let's go to Adam first, and then we get to the soup thing here on The Fanatic. Adam, what's going on, man?
All right, I feel privileged. All right, thanks for taking my call, you guys.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'll make 2 points here. That 2001 team, that was the first team that I ever started, that I ever noticed why you need experience going into the finals for your core guys is because... many of the Sixers on that team had never played close to that many games. So McKee and Lynch, well, Lynch broke his ankle. McKee's back died, and Eric Snow was basically playing on fumes. Those were three core guys for the team that really hurt them, and obviously Theo went down during the season. But
they certainly didn't have the bench that teams try to build now in terms of depth.
I didn't even think of that, actually. You're right. Larry Brown always kept a small rotation, but he always had somebody that he could rely on. The guy I liked the best when they were bringing guys in and out to try and team up with Iverson was Matt Harpering. He played quarterback, if I'm not mistaken, at Purdue. Am I wrong?
I thought he
Harpering
went
to
Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Georgia Tech. And he was a quarterback. I loved watching him play with Iverson. He moved without the ball. He would finish a lot of games with 17 points and 10 boards, and they would be wins. And I remember when I knew he was going to get traded because they closed up on his lips because Larry Brown would check him out a lot in different times when they tried to mismatch him on the other coach. And he looked right at the camera. And he's like, "Why the F you got to take me out?" And Larry Brown. Then they showed the camera on Larry Brown, and Larry Brown's like, "I'm the effing coach."
And you knew.
And that's why I work with those two guys. Are you talking about with who?
With Matt Harper.
With Matt Harper. Oh, yeah.
And
just...
he was gone. He was gone at the deadline.
I would agree with you that in terms of the skill set that he brought here, I was trying to see what he averaged that year. He only averaged 12 points.
And he came from Cleveland.
He must have averaged a good number of boards because he had too many games with 17 and 10. He was nice. He did
average 7 boards. 12 and 7 he did.
He was everything that Keith Van Horn wasn't. That's exactly what he was. Keith Van Horn was stayed out of the fray, played the white guy's game. He was just garbage.
Yeah, but he'd give you 17, 18 a night, Keith Van Horn would.
Harpering shot 46
for the call,
from the
man.
Floor and 30 from 3.
Hmm.
I mean, his best 3-point was the following season when he shot 41, of course, for Utah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good times.
I think he still does the TV for Utah.
He does.
Yeah.
I see him every now and then when they come into town. Yeah, he does.
I mean, those kind of shooters, like he has TV job.
Matt Bullard.
Wally Zerbiak.
Doesn't Matt Bullard does stuff for Houston as well?
I definitely see. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Shooter.
Yep, shooter. Those shooters. That's what
Del
I'm saying.
Del Curry.
Yeah, Del Curry still doing it.
Yep, absolutely. So
there's a great trick golf shot in his house from his son, Steph, today. You got to check it out.
Oh, okay. I'm not surprised.
I'd like to see that guy on the golf course.
I'm not surprised. Yeah.
I won't be surprised if Steph, when he's done playing, at 50 does the senior tour on PGA.
Yeah. Okay.
Or what do they call it? I think they call it the senior tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I always thought that possibly Gerald Henderson would do that. He was an unbelievable golfer.
Yeah.
You do know that.
Yeah, I do
but
know that.
But I don't think that would ever happen because the guy had nothing but back problems to end his career.
Yeah. Oh, man, as soon as I look at some of the free agents for the 2001, traded from Golden State to Philadelphia, do you remember the two players?
Yes, hold on.
Okay.
2001?
Yes.
Meaning after the run?
After the run. They were traded October 25th, 2001. So the season was, about to start.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can picture.
All right. I'll give you one.
Yeah.
And you give me the other. Okay.
Corey Blunt, huh. And the other would not have been Jason Thompson would have been around yet.
As a guard.
It's a guard. Go ahead.
Love the name. Vontigo Cummings. Remember Vontigo Cummings?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah.
Corey Blunt I should have gotten.
Yeah, so Golden State to Philadelphia, that was in a trade. Cedric Henderson went to Golden State. No, he went to Philadelphia Golden State, yeah. Yeah, that's wild. But all right, real quick. Connor Thomas.
Yeah,
and
what's
I,
the soup?
Yeah, so we were talking about something with eating food and we got into the soup thing where Connor says he eats tomato soup, and I'm like, yeah, I'm out. And I'm a chicken noodle soup guy.
Yeah, I love chicken noodle.
And he was
I
like...
I do like tomato bisque by the woman who makes my muffins. And
okay.
That's a little different, though. That's homemade.
So he went with... He doesn't like food with chunks of food in it. Like
okay.
The soups with
so
chunks of food in it.
So he likes puree.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, but chicken noodle soup would be number one on everyone's list. If we did a... You know, if we did that, we're obviously
bracket
not doing
soup.
That now.
Yeah.
Well, we went to the whole soup battle right there. Connor Thomas, Josh was a witness. He was sitting right there, and we went back and forth.
And are we talking about canned soup? Because that would be a little different than if I'm ordering out.
We didn't specify, but he was saying.
Because, like, I love clam chowder.
Because he was saying how you have the soup with, like, the tomato soup with grilled cheese. And I'm like, he was like,
delicious.
The only time you eat chicken noodle soup is when you're sick. I'm like, no, you don't. You can just.
No.
Just go right at it anytime.
Yeah.
Like I don't know.
That with some saltines.
See?
That's a late night snack right there.
Josh, you got to let them know.
And all these other different soups start popping up in the conversation. We pretty much built a bracket. And then I brought up, I was like, you know, Dee and I had this conversation before that Jim Wynum and I both like snapper soup.
Oh, yeah. And I don't like snapper because there's that funny taste in there at the very end. But my dad loves that snapper soup.
Does he? Yes.
Reminds me of beautiful times at Henny's in Stone Harbor.
There you go. And my father gets the snapper soup is always served where I play golf. And if he comes over and joins me for a meal, he always orders it. Because not a lot of people do the snapper soup.
Like me. And you guys know me. I'm out. You know me.
I'm going to go home and have a late night snack.
There you go. D, thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me be here with you.
Always a blast.
Josh, excellent to be with both of you guys.
Exactly. Both of you.
You got it, dude.
Both of you guys get home safe. Have a great weekend. D, good luck tomorrow, of course, doing the show. Both days, 12 to 4. And I will catch up with you guys at 6 o'clock on Monday. Stay safe out there. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Josh, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it. I'll talk to you on Monday. D, line up tomorrow right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.